You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
So how are you? That's a pretty general question, but all things considered.
B minus?
Well, that's better than I would guess.
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, what is your first, since you're involved with crime, obviously, in a direct way in this town, the Shelby County Crime Commission that Mr. Gibbons began back in October, all of that stuff, the ongoing crime issues, and the mayor's budget yesterday, takeaways from that, it focuses on crime, the MPD, the youth. At some point, the youth will be grown-up people who run this town.
That's right.
So two good points to focus on. What do you make of the future of this budget and the focus on, well, getting some more cops and getting the kids somewhere to go play and not get in gangs?
Well, and those are all good goals, and those are objectives of both, obviously, the mayor's budget yesterday and the work that we're doing with Operation Safe Community, which is the five-year plan that we rolled out January 1. A big chunk of that plan was to get the police department up to the complement that we need to be at, which is about 2,500 officers, and we are just shy of 1,900 officers today. So there was a $6.1 million prize given to the Crime Commission a few weeks ago by several donors in town to help the director with retention and with bonuses to keep the police officers that we have. Great recruitment effort is going on through the mayor and through the director to get more men and women engaged in joining the police department and becoming officers in our community. The second part of that, the youth, it's everything. Yep. Everything gets back to education. Everything gets back to making sure these children in our community have the foundation that they need to stay out of the criminal justice system and be contributing members. And that's a big focus of everything that we do every day at 201 and juvenile court.
It just seems like that you and I and, you know, and the mayors that are on the program and politicians and journalists, we all talk about the same things over and over again, year after year after year. And I guess we always will. There is no final answer or solution, but this has to stay top of mind, and everyone is doing their job to try to accomplish that.
Well, and I think what's different with particularly the Operation Safe Community plan this year is the emphasis on community. The DA's office, the police department, the sheriff's office, the mayor's, we can't fix this by ourselves. We need everybody on every street in every neighborhood in this county locking arms and saying, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be a good neighbor. I'm going to call the police if I see something. I'm going to be a mentor to a young child in my community or through my church or wherever you want to get engaged. But everybody's got to step up and deliver and stop sitting back and griping and expecting a understaffed police department and an understaffed DA's office to fix this.
Yes, you get the vibe from people on the street that they expect either you or the mayor's or Mike Rawlings to go door to door to fix this.
Right.
It's an unreasonable expectation. There are issues. There are problems. There's a story today about you know, all this crime downtown in Tom Lee Park. With Memphis in May coming up and all the things that continue to happen downtown, some good, some bad. They're talking about how many guns are in town. And Mr. Rawlings, I think, has not put the blame, but he's saying that there are too many guns on the streets. Well, that's not any real surprise to anybody. They've added cameras. Riverside Drive has some. Beale Street has more officers on horses and things like that. With the festivals coming up, there will be law enforcement, I would guess, like never before, more traffic stops downtown. Mm-hmm. So they focus on the hot spots. And I saw this piece today in the newspaper from somebody who wrote that the officers are not going in the right zip codes and hanging out to watch for the obvious criminals. There are only so many officers, and they can only cover, you know, so much ground in this, you know, big, big area of this metro, and it's impossible to cover every bad guy all the time.
But that's a good example of where the community can help. Last year, exactly, we had almost 900 guns stolen out of cars. That's almost three a day. For crying out loud, if you're going to drive around town with a gun in your car, please lock your doors.
Yeah.
I'd rather you just leave your gun at home, though. And particularly if you're a convicted felon, don't pick up a gun.
That's a pretty good piece of advice, but it also goes to show you, and many of these people are, you know, perhaps they have a license to carry for their own safety, But to leave the thing in your car, it is not really smart. Or your laptop or anything else. You're asking for trouble.
Right.
But these issues continue. They don't seem to get much better. The efforts to stop them do seem to be improving. But the frustration, I think, comes, well, it's in your office, it's in Mike's office, it's in Jim's office, and everybody feels the pressure to fix this. You can't fix it overnight.
It's not going to happen overnight. Some of the glimmers of hope, however, are the community prosecution model that we started January 1. We've put two prosecutors, seasoned veteran prosecutors, in two different precincts, going to work every day, reporting at the precinct, working side by side with officers and community leaders to get at the problem. And in addition to that, in the Old Allen precinct, we've got two judges, a General Sessions judge, Gerald Skane, and a criminal court judge, John Campbell, who have agreed to handle every arrest that comes out of that precinct, and a team of prosecutors that we've put together to handle every case. So everything that happens, whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony, is going to be handled by this same set of prosecutors, and it's going to be either handled in one of two courtrooms. So the judges and the prosecutors and the defense attorneys and the community leaders get to know who the problem people are. They get to know where the problem properties are, and they get to know who the people are that are helping us fight the fight.
That's a hell of a workload for two guys.
It is, but we're doing the work anyway. I mean, 201 is handling all of the business anyway. This is just a way to realign the caseloads and get them zeroed in on two different courtrooms so that those judges can start to see where the problems are and who the problems are and how do we go about fixing it, you know?
Yeah, I just get this vision, and I haven't been to 201 Poplar.
Well, you should come by. We'll give you the...
Lord. No, thanks. It's been a long time, but I can just imagine the courtrooms, the overload, the backups, the number of people that are in there for, you know, God knows what. And what a nightmare it must be to have to endlessly process the same people over and over again. The jails are crammed full.
And that's what we're trying to get at. That instead of just locking people up and pleading them guilty, what is it going to take for you to stop? What is it going to take for you to quit breaking into cars? What is it going to take for you to stop pointing guns in people's faces? We're tired of it. Knock it off. We're here to help you, but you got to want the help and you got to take advantage of it. We've got a long list of community partners that want to roll up their sleeves and zero in on that kind of 16 to 26 year old population that seems to be causing the most trouble and that we can still possibly get on that right path.
Yes, it is this age group, and these are, you know, kids out there doing this, and it doesn't ever stop. Our guest is the County DA, Amy Weirich. We're discussing the obvious problems that we all know about and are looking for answers. And everybody from, you know, it's a unified front. Mr. Gibbons and the mayors and you and Mike Rawlings and the sheriff and all that. Yet the problems persist. They aren't aided by stories like we had the past couple of days of county commissioners beating up their girlfriends that seem to dominate the news. The news doesn't help. These are bad stories. We get the occasional good story. I saw you last week. You and Rawlings were at the Botanic Garden for some event in memory
crime
of
victims. Yeah. That's an annual event that Stevie Moore and the Freedom from Unnecessary Negatives organization, the Crime Victim Center, that's part of Mayor Luttrell's administration. They put on that function every year at the Botanic Garden, and we remember homicide victims from this past year, and we all know we had far too many, and we remember homicide victims from years past.
Well, I don't know why this thing about guns, I don't know what, you know, Mike thinks he can do about that, but he doesn't seem shy about talking about this stuff very candidly. And with summer coming and Memphis in May and downtown, I sense a real focus on crime downtown. But that leaves the suburbs kind of open, so we have to hope that these recruits and all that pan out and prove to be competent people who can get on the job pretty quick.
Sure.
But it doesn't happen overnight, going to.
It takes the community. So if you're going to be out and about with your gun in your car, please lock your doors.
Yes. You got to use a little bit of common sense, which is in very short supply.
Yes.
We've talked about rape kits with you for, 3 years?
Yep.
It needs to be, this is not only Memphis. It's been all over America. People have focused money and time on the situation. You guys had 12,000 to begin with.
Yep.
This was in 2013. Tony Armstrong was here then. You've gotten through the majority of them, it seems like.
We've gotten the majority of them through to the testing phase.
Okay.
Which is the very first step in the process. Yes.
Okay, so this is another thing that can go on forever.
And it will. Because the ideal is a step-by-step process. We identify a rapist. We find the victim. The statute of limitations has not run, and we're able to build a case and bring somebody to justice and get closure for these victims that is long overdue. But that's not going to happen on all 12,000 kits. We have victims that have died. We have many kits where the defendants are already doing time for this rape, that they went on and pled guilty without the kit being
tested. Which you only learn once you find the name and follow through on this case?
We find out that that kit is connected to this case where the defendant is already doing time on it. We have victims that maybe don't want to open up these wounds and go through this process.
Nice.
So all of these are, the testing of the kit is the very first step, but there are many steps that have to take place after that before we get to the ultimate step of a conviction.
So what is the recent lawsuit about of these 40 women? What is it based on?
That lawsuit is based upon the Memphis Police Department not sending these kits off to be tested. So, you know, we've got many kits that go back to the early 90s.
So these were put in an evidence room and left?
Yes.
Is that the implication?
For a variety of reasons. As we're learning now, some of these kits are connected to cases where the defendant is doing time. So some of these were kits that weren't sent off to be tested because the defendant pled guilty. Some of these were cases that just didn't get worked the way perhaps they should have been worked. Mm-hmm. And so we're rolling up our sleeves and we're doing that work now. We had one a couple of months ago that involved law enforcement agencies from this state and from Texas tracking a rapist down to a homeless shelter and bringing him to justice here in Shelby County for the rapist. But it took many, many steps. It took many, many people, but nobody was going to let up until we got handcuffs on this guy and we got him back to Shelby County for this victim.
So this is your office, the MPD. How many folks are working on this directly, on this rape?
Well, you've got the Memphis Police Department Sex Crimes Unit. I don't know how many officers are assigned to that. You've got our Special Victims Unit within the DA's office, which is seven assistant district attorneys, several investigators, victim witness coordinators.
Full-time job for them all day, every day.
Yes, our rape cases. Now, the one glimmer of hope is that since this was all unearthed, there was a directive put out by then-Director Armstrong that every kit that is collected now by MPD goes off to be testing so that we don't get into this situation of having a backlog in the future. The other thing that happened was Senate Majority Leader Mark Norris pushed legislation that did away with the statute of limitations on aggravated rape so that we don't run against the clock.
Right.
Yeah. So,
you know, on that note, this just popped into my mind. What is your take on, speaking of being on the clock, you know, on a carton of milk, there's an expiration date. What do you make of the Arkansas executions that they allegedly wanted to get done before the dope was ineffective and the date ran out on it? Does that seem to be unusual to you?
Well, I can't speak for why Arkansas is doing the things that they're doing.
It just seems weird.
It is a little peculiar.
That drug is not going to not be effective on a certain day. It's a very unusual thing. I never heard of that before in my life.
I hadn't either.
So we'll skip that one.
But it's closure for those victims' families.
It is. And I don't know. There's the ongoing, never-ending debate. Is it justice or is it revenge? Which we could discuss in your book someday that you'll write after
right.
all this nonsense
I'm on
is
my
over
cruise.
With.
Yes.
Amy Weirich is here. Shay Flynn's coming up. And he's in the green room having first of many drinks before he comes in here.
I never get that offer.
Well, we want to keep you right because you got stuff to do. Let's discuss this briefly, and I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but you were quoted on it in the newspaper. David Waters was here yesterday, and a kinder and gentler man. You just won't find anybody as nice as he is, and he doesn't say bad things about people. This rape case here of late, Mr. Farese is a well-known attorney in town. I'm sure you know him.
I do.
He's no Atticus Finch. Let me just say that. His moves in the courtroom over this rape case were, to me, despicable. He's trying to win. Doesn't there have to be a line in the sand somewhere as to what you will and won't do to win a case to degrade women of all ages and sizes and kinds in a courtroom?
Well, there certainly are those lines from the prosecution side, and I can't speak to what was in Mr. Freese's mind. Someone was quoted, I can't remember who it was, of saying that, you know, oftentimes we say things and we regret it and we wish we could bring it back. Perhaps that's the situation. Mm. What I can speak to is the trauma
you're
that
a woman
the victim
and
went through.
That had to offend you personally. I'm not speaking for you, but I'm just saying that my wife was, she just went, I can't believe that.
Oh, it's
this,
incredibly
this
offensive.
This just was said.
It's incredibly offensive. Hopefully, the jury looked at the facts, looked at the evidence, and followed their oath. While I respect our system, while I respect the jury that returned its verdict last week, as I said, we were deeply disappointed in that verdict, mm-hmm. given the proof, given what this victim went through, and given the what we fear might be a chilling effect of hesitancy on the part of other victims out there to speak up.
That's the point, I think, that is underlined in this entire thing. It's hard enough to come forward if you've been the victim of this kind of abuse. It's embarrassing. It is shaming. And it just usually doesn't happen. They just keep it to themselves until they go, you know, crazy from, you know, hiding this. But this lady came forward.
Yep.
And this is what she gets in return. The jury in this case, I assume, did not know of the other two cases involving this man.
No, they're not allowed to know that.
Right.
Right.
So they didn't know that, and right. So their judgment was based entirely upon what happened in that courtroom.
Their job is to judge our case.
Right.
Did the state of Tennessee prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt?
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest standard in the legal system, and it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their job, is to weigh the facts and the evidence and put it together with the law and reach their verdict.
It's one of the uglier things I've seen of late. You have to have some kind of faith in this system, but nonsense like that is a kick in the stomach, and I can't believe in 2017 that a grown man would say that. I don't care what he has to win or lose. But believe it at that, this isn't your problem, but you spoke about it, I think, as you should have, and it was diplomatic, and you really can't go into it, you know, that deeply, but good God, man. So what else do we have to look forward to this year? It's summertime.
It is summertime.
That makes us a little bit kind of unnervy sometimes.
It does. The kids are out of school, and temperatures rise, and angers.
Yeah.
Moods rise. Hopefully everybody can, again, keep it in check, and we need everybody to chip in. And if you see something, say something. People maybe have a little more free time in the summertime. Think about how you can chip in
summer
and be a mentor.
Summer programs.
Yep.
And they're urging mentorship. Everybody is. And part of Jim's new budget was about summer programs and way to help these kids. But if this, you know, this city needs to stop, talking and do something. The citizens of it, not the officials.
Exactly.
I believe that both mayors, the DA's office, the police people, the sheriffs, they've talked themselves to death about this. And now it's time for those that live in this place to do something about it.
Something that everybody can do this Saturday is, if you have prescription drugs sitting around your home that are not being used or shouldn't be being used, take them to any of the area Walgreens or Kroger or to the sheriff's department between 10 and 2 on Saturday. It is Tennessee Drug Take Back Day.
We have an
epidemic of opioid abuse in this community and across the nation. I think the statistic I heard the other day was 91 people a day in the nation die from opioid overdoses.
It's incredible in this area.
It is.
And in South Haven, and it's not talked about.
Well.
And we had a lady on, I don't know if you heard this last month, this young man that passed away, we had his mother on.
Yes.
Because they put in the obit that he had died from heroin overdose.
Yes.
So we saw that, and I mentioned it, and she responded to it.
I knew that young boy. He was a classmate and of one of my children, and his parents are dear friends of ours. And
well, that was
it touches everyone's life.
That was a tough interview.
And
she was a tough lady, and I thought the world of her. And
proud of them for putting that in there and being open about it. But the opioid abuse leads to the heroin epidemic that we are seeing. And so if everybody could gather up the pills that are sitting in the medicine cabinet, sitting in the drawers, take them to any area Walgreens and Kroger and get them into safe hands so that they're not out on the street and being taken.
What happened to, you know, some beer in the backyard?
Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
But I miss them.
And, you know, and the thing is, though, this is not a thing that you can assign to bums and the homeless. This epidemic is doctors, lawyers.
It's everywhere.
Everybody.
It's everywhere. And so we've actually taken one of our prosecutors and taken them off of his regular duties and assigned him to a heroin task force working with the U.S. Attorney's Office. And we've hired another prosecutor to work side by side with him so that working with the feds, we can start going after these dealers and doing what we can to get addicts the help that they need and the resources that are in this community to keep them from being the next statistic. The other good thing that's happening tomorrow night at Hope Presbyterian Church, the Do the Right Thing Banquet, which is an essay contest that our office sponsors in the Shelby County Schools. We ask the middle schoolers to write about violence. How would they fix the violence problem in our community? And the two winners that will be announced tomorrow night, they don't know who they are, get an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. this summer, and they get to take one of their parents, and they get to take their English teacher with them.
How nice.
It's really, really neat, and it's
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Hope. And and these libraries have programs for kids to read books, and there are many, many things to do. So for goodness sake, you know, find these kids something to do before they get in with the wrong people and something goes south.
Yeah.
It should be an interesting year. We have to hope it gets better because it really can't go the other direction much longer. We need this to improve and people to pay attention and to help each other. And that's really all you can do. So it's good to know that you have nothing going on and you're just kind of hanging out.
We're just hanging out.
You know, just doing nothing.
We're just waiting for business.
No, you're not. You got business backed up down the street. Do you hope that, it's almost May. The year is almost a third over. So maybe we can gauge some progress in a few months and have you back and we'll try it again.
I would love to.
In the meantime, take care of yourself and don't take any crap.
Don't worry.
Amy Weirich, we thank you. We will be back and chat with Shay Flynn about, I don't know. We'll find something to discuss.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.